Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 2, the first, or Matthew 2, the 1 and 2nd verse, and 8 through 12. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out there. Ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. May his blessing be upon our understanding and our meditations upon his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. The world needs a new vision. All of us look at the challenge of terrorism and long for a vision, a cure for this deadly scourge. Scientists look at the troubling signs of rising global temperatures and hope for a new vision of how to stave off a potential crisis. Many of us long for a vision that will again unite us as a people. The vision thing is so important. Many of us need a new vision for our personal lives. Some of us are bogged down in a sea of guilt and anger. Others of us feel something is missing from our lives. If only we could see something that we haven't seen before. Let me give you an example of what I mean by vision. If I were to show you a pile of scrap cardboard, old car parts, unused tires, and other cast-offs, what would be the first thought that came into your mind? Trash heap, junkyard, eyesore. There was an article in Time magazine several years ago about a professor at Auburn University who looked at those same items and saw new homes. Professor McBee is the visionary behind an architectural firm that specializes in making lovely, functional, low-cost public buildings and homes for poor families in Alabama. Mockby and his students make these lovely functional buildings out of trash. Specifically, they turn scrap cardboard, old car parts, used tires, and other cast-offs into real homes. Last year, some of these students built a chapel and community center for the residents of Mason's Bend, a tiny rural town. The students used more than 100 discarded car windows to make one wall of the center. Former students have made homes out of hay bales or old tires. Some of these homes, which are donated to local residents, are attractive enough to be featured in architectural magazines. These students learn to see value in refuse and to turn the refuse into something beautiful and lasting. Some people look at discarded car windows and see trash. Others see building materials. See the stained glass window? You know what it's made out of? broken plastic toys. Up at 11 o'clock is a brush. I don't know if it's a toothbrush or what. Let's see. Down here is the top off of one of those plastic bags you carry things home from the grocery or store in. Buttons all over the place. Trash. And from a distance, it looks like a beautiful stained glass window. The difference is vision. What do you see? How you look at your world and how you look at yourself will determine to a great extent what you will contribute to the world and how great you'll feel about your own life. That is the power of vision. Nothing happens without vision. The world hungers for people with vision, for people who look farther than they can see. In the year 7 BC, the planets Jupiter and Saturn appeared very close together in the night sky, casting a bright glow similar to that of a single star. The following year, in 6 BC, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn were also closely aligned. Scholars believe that those two events produced the light in the sky that the wise men followed when they came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. You know the story. What fascinates me is this. Hundreds of thousands of other people living in that part of the world saw the same bright light in the sky. But they did not leave their homes to go find the newborn king. What was different about these magi? Vision. First of all, these magi were searching for something that was real, something that would transform their lives. And God loves searchers. This Sunday is called Epiphany on the church calendar. It's a celebration of the coming of the magi. In our secular language, an epiphany is a new way of seeing or understanding. It is so appropriate that we should begin a new year with an epiphany, a new way of seeing, a vision, an image of what our world can be and what our lives can be. Like the Magi of old, we need to open our minds and stretch our imaginations. Truthfully, did you come this morning searching? Or have you found all you need in your new iPad, your work, your family, a new hobby, school activities? Are you so content with the things of this world that you no longer hunger for a fresh encounter with God? God loves searchers. The wise men, first of all, were searchers. They were searchers who set out on a journey of faith. That's important. There are many journeys that people take. Some people journey into alternative lifestyles. Some journey into alcohol and drugs. The Magi had a very specific goal in mind for their journey. We find it in the very first verse of the scripture I read a moment ago. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." No wonder we call them wise. They were looking for the King of the Jews, the Messiah, so that they might worship him. So many people today are taking destructive journeys in our world, following so many false stars. A few years back, our Air Force built a sophisticated unmanned jet called the Global Hawk. With no pilot aboard, this plane can fly for more than a day, scouring terrain and relaying video to a ground station 3,000 miles away. A few years back, one of these planes was lost in a freak accident. No, it didn't crash into a mountain. It didn't run out of fuel or have one of its parts malfunction. It committed suicide. It shut its engines down, erased classified material from its computer, set its flaps in a death spiral, and smashed at 400 miles per hour into the desert. Here's what happened. More than 100 miles away, a team of Air Force personnel were testing a second Global Hawk aircraft. And at some time in that test, this team told the second plane to terminate its flight. Unfortunately, the first plane overheard this signal from more than 100 miles away and thought it was being ordered to terminate its flight. And it did just that. A $45 million plane was lost because it listened to the wrong voice. There are many journeys that we can take in today's world. Many voices that we can listen to. Many stars we can follow. But only one leads us into the path of abundant life. I want to challenge you today to set out on a journey of faith this year. Get deep into our faith. Join a Bible study. There's not one around. Start a Bible study. Spend more time in prayer. Focus more intently in worship on God's purpose for your life individually. Don't worry about the life on the other side of the aisle. Think about your life individually and what God wants of you. The wise men were searchers who were on a journey of faith, and their goal was to bow before the newborn king. And when they found him, they bowed down before him and offered him gifts. These were expensive gifts. Maybe this is why tradition calls them the three kings. Some have treated these gifts as symbolic. Gold to represent kingship, myrrh to represent his death on the cross, incense as homage to God. Perhaps, we don't know. Neither we know what happened to the gifts. Maybe Joseph sold them to finance their journey to Egypt, their time there, and the journey back. The Bible doesn't say, and it really doesn't matter. These gifts represent most of all the Magi's devotion. They gave of themselves. And this is the key to life. Give of yourself. Give of yourself to God. Give of yourself to others. And there it is. Epiphany. Seeing life with new eyes. Vision. Seeing in the world new possibilities. That is what I wish for each of us this day. The Magi came searching. Their searching took them on a journey of faith. And when they found the newborn king, they offered him gifts. Gifts that represented the best that was in them. This is the kind of vision we need as we begin this new year. A vision to bring new lives and a new world. Amen. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.